All right, our next speaker is Jake Maurer, who will be speaking about psyllium uptake in Bermudagrass.
Thank you. Okay, so my name is Jake Maurer, and I work for the Cooperative Extension Service and the Agricultural and Environmental Services Laboratory in Athens, Georgia. We do request analyses upon request for farmers, homeowners, and everything, just like a lot of similar labs in other states. I'm the program coordinator for a broad program that covers pesticides and herbicides, trace metal analysis, and crop quality. So we do things like looking at sugars in blueberries, methyl thiosulfonates in onions, and of course the heavy metals, which I mentioned earlier. And in this heavy metal work that I've done over the last 7 years, I started to get involved in an understanding and awareness of gypsum as a beneficial byproduct for use in land application and agricultural production. My colleague Utom Saha and I, a few years ago, identified most of the state soils in the state as being selenium deficient for eventual animal nutrition needs through forage production. And historically, at our facility, which is a little off campus, we had a nice little yard there where we had some research plots for turf grass, and immediately adjacent up until about 2 years ago was 20 or so acres of horse pasture. Now the new vet med complex has taken all of that pasture over, and so we don't have any research plots, but we do have sort of an obligation to engage in research and support. What we do have on our site is this really cool greenhouse. It's run by, it's managed by the plant pathology department. And this is a picture of it here on the screen. And I asked for their permission and was granted their blessing to use it for some experiments the last two summers. And so two of the co-authors here on this study, Katie Chatham was an undergraduate intern with me at the lab last summer. And we had a young scholar, a high school student, named Alexander Nichols, worked with me this summer on pushing the ball forward a little bit on selenium research, and we decided to include some gypsum in this past summer. So we just used the enter key. So the outline, these are short talks. I'll keep it simple. I'll talk about the study objective and a little background on the study. We'll talk about the experimental design and the analytic methods, and finally we'll summarize the results. So we're interested in selenium nutrition through forages for animal nutrition. As I mentioned earlier, we've identified most of the soils in our state are selenium deficient for this purpose. And so that's a very important thing. We don't have any recommendations on selenium fertilizer for pasture and forage production in our state, for example. And we had, in part of our literature search for this last year with the intern, we found that sulfate is known to inhibit selenate uptake in plants. So this is something we wanted to look at, and with my work in gypsum and other byproducts, I thought it would be interesting if we're trying to push gypsum as a beneficial land soil amendment for farmers, maybe we want to look at its effects on selenate uptake and forages as well. And then also, you know, we're poorly funded, like most organizations, and we get a not quite modest stipend to work with interns and young scholars from high school. So this has been a really advantageous way for us to push the ball forward a little bit, is to get a little help in funding and resources through our work with undergraduates and high school students. So with that, Katie Chatham, who was the undergraduate intern last summer, she did this really neat project in the greenhouse where she applied two different rates of selenium as selenate or selenite, selenite, the reduced form of selenium. And she also studied it in the context of reagent grade sulfate salts and phosphate salts. And this is the results she got last summer. So the A indicates that there's no difference from the control here. And what we had is low selenite, high selenite applications. And we had low sulfate, high sulfate in combination, and low phosphate and high phosphate. And the control, of course, is no application of any of these. And so selenite at the low levels was no different than the control in any of the treatment combinations. The high selenite by itself was a little elevated over the control. The phosphate combined with selenite and high selenite and low selenate were elevated above the control. What's really interesting here is that in the presence of high sulfur or high sulfate applications, we do see a decrease in selenate uptake in the common Bermuda grass that we planted in the greenhouse pots. So this confirms what we had read in the literature. Katie got us this far, and so we knew this summer in 2014 with a high school student, we designed a project to test the effects of co-application of gypsum and selenate and also develop a selenate fertilizer response curve that we can use to make recommendations to farmers. So to summarize Katie's results, there was no effect on total dry matter at all with either selenate, selenite, or sulfate applications. Selenate is more effective than selenite as a fertilizer source for selenium, and there's no significant effect of phosphate on selenate uptake. And the selenate was significantly reduced, the uptake of selenate was significantly reduced by sulfate in the low selenate, high sulfate treatment. So this summer, our experiment looked like this. We had 32 pots, they were 4-inch pots, with 400 grams of air dry soil. In the previous year, we used a very sandy soil from the coastal plain. I believe it was a Boniface series. This year we used a Cecil clay containing soil from the northern part of the state that was actually under production for pasture for cattle. We used common Bermuda grass, the C. dactylon, stolons. We cut them out at the Plant Sciences farm and we let them grow and equilibrate in the pots for 2 weeks, and then we cut them down to 7.5 centimeters. Then we applied our treatments. Selenium was applied at 0, 5, 10, and 20 grams per hectare, and this is consistent with other studies. The flue gas desulfurization gypsum was applied at 2,440 kilograms per hectare, and I imagine someone's going to ask me why we did that. But we have highly weathered soils in our state, and again, there are a lot of other intended uses for gypsum, and one of the things we can do is increase the base saturation, the soil structure, so forth and so on. The top matter for the common Bermuda grass pots was harvested at 2, 4, 6, 9, and 12-week intervals, and we knew from previous literature, and actually Malcolm's got something in our soil test method book where we can address subsoil acidity in alfalfa plots with applications of gypsum. And so previous literature had shown that it can have a positive effect on soil pH in some cases. So we wanted to test this at the 4-week interval as well. And this is a picture of Alexander. He gave me permission to use his picture. He was a very gregarious young man and a lot of fun to work with this summer. So he actually texted me this morning and asked how it went, and I reminded him we're on Pacific time, not Eastern. So I'll have to get back to him a little bit later. Great guy. And I've done this, just a little aside, and I hope I don't run out of time doing this. I've done this with the high school students for the last 4 years, and every summer we have a 4-week program where they come in and do real research projects with us and many other researchers across the campus and other campuses in the state. It's just a great program called Young Scholars, and I get more out of it than they do, I'm sure, but I really encourage people to work with undergraduates and high school students whenever you get the chance. Okay, the analysis we did by ICP actually viewed atomic emission spectrometry, and there's hydride generation on the front end. And I've been doing this for 7 years, and I know Malcolm sends us a lot of samples, and I can address the issue with heavy metals that the gentleman asked earlier. So I've been doing this for 7 years. I'm convinced that we're never even going to come close to guidelines where we're worried about heavy metal application from any of this, the methodology that we're currently producing flue gas desulfurization gypsum. All right, so for the results section, I'll summarize week 2, week 4, and week 6, and then we'll skip ahead to the cumulative selenium uptake patterns. So the total uptake for week 12 at the week 12 interval. And also in week 4, I'll discuss the soil core pH results as well. So at 2 weeks, we have two curves here that we'll look at. And this is all the data for 4 reps. Cellcoat Ultra, we were fortunate enough to just have to pay a Canadian supplier for the shipping cost. And we mentioned again it was for a high school student we were working with. He said, sure, we'll send you 10 kilograms. You'll just pay for shipping. So there's other benefits, I guess, to getting cheap resources when you're working with high school students and undergrads. So this is significant at as SAS-GLM comparison between the two linear models here. Cellcoat Ultra, which is a selenate salt source of selenium fertilizer, selenium was taken up at a much higher rate than it was in the presence of flue gas desulfurization gypsum. So this is at 2 weeks. Now the you can see what the slopes are here, 0.22 versus 0.15. At 4 weeks, the uptake had decreased quite a bit over the 2 weeks. So there's a very steep initial curve. It's gone down to about a third in the comparison here, either line you look at. This is not significant at the alpha equals 0.05, but it is significant at 0.1 here. So there is a difference between the uptake of selenium in the presence of flue gas gypsum and without flue gas gypsum applied. So I wanted to look at the pH effect here. We knew in the laboratory that there was an effect from, we have this little test where you can, you know, see if the soil respond, and it passed the test. So we looked at this in the lab, and we figured with the flue gas desulfurization gypsum, we'd get about a 0.2 point uptick in pH if we applied it. However, and this is also something you can find in the literature, reagent grade gypsum doesn't have the same effect that the FGD gypsum does. So this little chart on the right here shows that reagent grade actually dropped the soil slurry laboratory test pH. There's an initial uptick, which we attribute to the salt effect, perhaps the junction effect on the pH meter, followed by a drop. And then as you see, we get out to 1 milligram per 20 grams of soil. You actually get a 0.2 of a pH rise out at that point. So we applied it at this rate in the pots, and I took soil cores with a little core on either side of the stolons at the 4 week juncture. And what we found is that there was no significant effect in the pots on pH with the application of gypsum at that rate, which is about 1 ton per acre or 2,440 kilograms per hectare. So moving on to 6 weeks, we find that the curves between selenate uptake with and without the presence of gypsum start to close. These are not significant anymore. They're not even close. And so this continued on at the 9 week and the 12 week interval as well. And so looking at 12 week total uptake, we see that it is still significant, and this is mainly dominated by the first 4 weeks of uptake. So if you look at week by week, the significance drops off from 6, 9, and 12 weeks, but it's still significant enough at that first interval of 2 weeks to dominate this relationship. So this is what it looks like, and we found that selenate by itself is described by a second-order model, whereas it's not significant to add the extra term in the presence of gypsum. And so to conclude our results, selenium uptake from fertilizer is affected by flue gas desulfurization gypsum during the first 4 weeks, only if you look at it on a week-by-week basis. Cumulative uptake from fertilizer only is significant as a second-order polynomial model, and the cumulative uptake for selenium co-applied with flue gas FGD gypsum is significant only as a linear model. When you compare them at any combination, linear, polynomial, both models are significantly different as compared by the general linear model procedure in SAS. We did not find significant results in above ground dry matter produced or soil pH effects. Okay, and with that, those are the results. I think I have enough time for a question or two.
Absolutely. Are there any questions for Jake?
I'll start in the back. You had your hand up first. The question is, did I run a test on reagent grade gypsum along with the FGD gypsum? We did a laboratory benchtop study on pH in a slurry, and we did not use reagent grade in the greenhouse. Okay, I'll take that back to the lab. There's the question referenced redox effects from iron present in the FGD gypsum. I'll have to test that, but I didn't test any of the larger elements like aluminum and iron. I did heavy metals and calcium and sulfur in that.
If you have any more questions, will you be around after?
I will come back, I promise. Someone okay. I'd see something at 10:15.
Excellent. He'll be back here for the discussion at the end of the session. So thank you very much, Jake.
Yeah, thank you.